A few weeks ago, don't know if you're here, don't know if you remember, but I got that awesome joy challenge of talking about family, and the journey continues today. You're going to have to bear with me, because actually for me, family is a challenge. You know, and I shared a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. I'm still learning what it is to be family, what it is to be able to say, I love you, I appreciate you, I care, I want you in, you know, in my life. So, okay. Last time we touched upon family, and we were looking at, you know, it's important in the Bible. That means it's important to God. So if it's important to God, that's ahead to us, that it should be really important. And that we grow the understanding of family by God's standards and not by our own physical experiences of family. We looked at how God had defined roles, so mothers, wives, fathers, husbands, brothers, sisters, all that jazz, okay. And my experience of that in my natural can have an effect on how I am with you guys, my spiritual family. But the joy is that God is at work in me, and he's at work in you. And we were looking at, you know, we were born into a physical family of whatever shape, size. But when we're born again, we're born into God's family. That's the Romans 8, verse 15. And we're adopted into his family. You know, and when we're adopted, we don't suddenly take on this cloak of I am part of God's family and I'm part of Regional Community Church, as I need to learn what that means. And that that's part of the journey. And that we're a family drawn from every nation, tribe, language, tongue. So I long for the day when I'm part of, you know, family where the Brazilian tongue can come forth and others join in. The Polish tongue comes forth and others join in. The English comes forth, and I think, oh, relief, I can understand that one. But actually, you know, we're all on that journey together, okay? And then I kind of ended on the defining characteristic of being a virtual family together, and that command in John 13, that a new command I give to you, love one another. As I've loved you, you must love one another. And Trevor was praying a little bit earlier, and I'm thinking, oh, thank you, God, you know, about how actually would people know that I'm a Jesus lover? Well, people know how I'm a Jesus lover by how I interact with you guys and how I interact with them. So loving one another, easy, isn't it? We've all got it sorted? Yeah, no, don't say. If you're like me, it's not easy to show, to demonstrate love. You guys don't like me. You certainly don't talk like me. Some of us have proper sense, okay? Don't enjoy the same things as me. You're not perfect like me. No. But we're not perfect, are we? Loving someone is not easy in our imperfections, in our weaknesses, in our difficulties, in our differences. But God's intention is just that, that we love one another and that we don't give up on one another. And so for me, kind of draws onto, well, what does community, you know, what does that family look like? When we all get together, there should be that common unity that draws us together, that common purpose, interest. Well, for me, it's Jesus. You know, if I didn't love Jesus, I wouldn't be here. And for some of you, no offense, but if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't spend time with you. Because in the natural, we perhaps don't have everything in common. Your sense of humour is not my sense of humour. In fact, your sense of humour might irritate me, and my sense of humour might irritate you. But that's okay, because we're all called to be different. We're all unique. But guess what? We all need each other. So our value as a culture is what is good, right, just, fair. And actually, we don't learn that unless we get before God, and we learn from him, and we learn from each other. So hopefully, still working. When I was like doing some reading, praying, this Greek word that I cannot pronounce, koinonia. See, even with it up there, I still struggle to pronounce it. But it is a Greek word that means so much more than our English definition can give to it. It's about community and family becoming closely intertwined, interlinked. That in working towards the common sense of family and unity, that helps us overcome brokenness. So when we have the leaves and that coming in of this world, we can love them, we can greet them, and invite them into our home, and hopefully they will go away having felt like they've been given a warm greeting. They felt like being at home, because in their brokenness, in our divisiveness, you know, we are all different. We do have different opinions. I need to value yours, you need to value mine. But it doesn't mean that you're right, and it doesn't mean that I'm right or wrong. And the idea of having that community, that environment where we're all about the good of being together and the wholeness for each and every one of us. Mutual support, friendship, encouragement. In that, then kind of merged together. There should be that blurring of the line between family, friends. Shouldn't be little cliques. No, we should be together, one, together. And if we're in a community that's got fellowship, we've got an inner and an outer unity. Our inner unity comes from who we are in Jesus. Now, so if we've not got that right, then guess what? My outer me will be irritated by you, when actually God wants to give me patience. Now, my outer might not have the natural ability to demonstrate love, but God teaches me how to give a hug. A little simple thing, I've left my cardigan over there, but Joshua and Sarah walk in this morning and I happen to be out by the door, and he comes rushing in. And then out of his pocket, he gets this squidged up little bit of green leaf. You know, and you look at it and you think, well, what is that? But actually, he's been and he's picked it off the bush and he's come to give it to me. There, I have a choice to make. I can either go, what is that tatty bit of, you know, put it in the bin. But no. You demonstrate love, don't you? It's like, oh, Josh, thank you so much for that. That's beautiful. Love it. Let me put it in my pocket. Let me keep it safe and secure. That's God's work in me. Because many a year ago, I wouldn't have even had that, because I wouldn't have been able to build a relationship like that. So that inner and outer unity. We're in a place, it's family. We have got leaders, thank you, God. But they're not here to control me. They're not here to command me. They can try. You know, but actually they're here to inspire, to encourage, to focus energies, to align interests and not impose control. And that idealized state of fellowship and that unity that should exist within us as family together, that is what that Greek word that I can't pronounce means. And that's the community that I want to be in. So how do I do that? Because no, I'm human, I screw up, I make mistakes all the time. I've got to look at Galatians. Okay. So Galatians 6:9-10, I've got this amazing computer that will just bring the passage that I'm looking at from all different kinds of Bibles. And I found one called The Voice. Never heard of it. Now, in the ESV, Galatians 6:9-10 is, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But I loved this. May we never tire of doing what is good and right before our Lord, because in his season we shall bring in a great harvest if we can just persist. So seize any opportunity the Lord gives you to do good things and be a blessing to everyone, especially those in our faithful family. Going to have a little look at that, okay? But we need to remember that we're looking at a tiny little bit in chapter 6, and you know, there's 5 chapters that have gone on before that Paul's been talking about, so I'd encourage you to go away and read them, because in there he's laying out plain and practical directions for how we get together, for how we be with each other in our duty to one another and in promoting that. You know, there's a thought it was like a coy little phrase, and the communion of saints in love. know, and I'd hear that years ago and think, oh, such a twee phrase, but actually it's truth. You know, we are a community where we're supposed to be in love, over heels in love with Jesus, and then in love with each other, you know, in appropriate ways, obviously. So, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Growth in our relationships don't happen automatically, do they? Whether it's in you and I just getting to know each other as a friend, in husbands and wives getting to know each other, growing older together. I once heard someone say that, you know, his relationship with his wife is better now 40 years than it was at the beginning. And just like a good bottle of wine, you know, it matures, it gets better the longer it goes on. But that doesn't come naturally, does it? Does that not mean you have to work at it, compromise, learn what ticks each other's boxes, those languages of love and all of that? It doesn't just happen automatically. That's the same with us. Growth takes effort. It takes time. It is hard work. It can be exhausting. So if we're feeling exhausted at times, you know what? That's okay, because God knew. And actually, we're going to look at how he can help us in that. Takes vulnerability, my being intimate with you, those words that I really hate, but God is working on in me. So in these two verses, Paul's encouraging us to keep on going and building at our relationships. Let us not become weary in doing good. It's not relying on works of the law. You know, I don't go and visit you because I have to. I don't help you write a letter because I feel like I have to. I don't meet you for coffee because I feel like I have to. I meet you and I do those things because A, God instructs and encourages me to do that, but B, because I love you and that's my showing my love to you. But that doing isn't what gets me right before God. You know, that's just a byproduct. That's part of the blessings, really. True faith expresses itself through love. If I'm not loving, I'm not expressing true faith. The hard work of serving one another. So if I'm not serving you, I'm not loving you, am I? And carrying each other's burdens. And that's hard at times. For me, whenever it was a few Saturdays ago, I was really struggling. Because physically, emotionally, in every way, I was really low. Now, normally, I think, right, you know, put on a chip CD, sit there, let truth just filter in and just be. I'm part of a really good fellowship group, and a lot of us are on Facebook, so we have a little closed group. So I posted on there, really battling today, could you pray? And actually, what I got back was, well, do you want to come round, or do you want to come and be with us? We're having a Strictly night. Now, for me, the temptation was to think, actually, you know, I'm in a place, so actually, I'm not going to be a blessing if I come knocking at your door, and I want blessing, I don't want to be a curse. But actually there was something in that that I thought, you know what? Yeah. So I got out of my PJs and I got dressed and I drove around and got greeted with love, acceptance, just being who I am. And I sit there and be doing something that I would have been doing at home but with family around. And do you know what? That blessed me so much. But I had to ask help and I had to take that vulnerable step, and I don't think that they were cursed as a result, so that's all good. So Paul, you know, is encouraging us to press in, not to get fatigued doing good. You know, what's the doing good? It isn't just about the work. Actually, I have a life where I've got the Spirit within me. He prompts me. He might bring somebody's name into my head. You know, so I want to sow to please the Spirit and not to please man. So the church, we're not a spectator sport. We might think we are at times, but we are not. God desires every single one of us that call ourselves his followers to use the gifts, the abilities, the experiences he's given us to help in the wandering, the making disciples. There's no room for a consumer mindset. Let me entertain you. I'm not here to entertain you. No element of it blessed with perhaps, but that's not my intention. And that's not God's intention either. It's not about satisfying our own expectations, but giving of ourselves for the sake of ministry. So when we're here together, we should be in a safe place where we can discover a place in which we can serve faithfully and fruitfully. No, that's what being together is all about. But I've mentioned the word fatigue. And one of the greatest obstacles to building or rebuilding relationships, we get tired. We can lose heart, run out of strength when we come up against the same problem over and over and over again as we interact with each other. In my own strength, that makes me want to just go sometimes, not get out of bed, hop round to see you, not invite you round. Mind not that I've done a lot of that in the last few years, so don't sit there thinking, well, I haven't been round to Lisa's. That's because Lisa's house hasn't been open in quite a while, but it will be in the new year. Brilliant thing is, God already knows what we're like as humans, and he's already provided a solution in the Holy Spirit, because without him, I wouldn't exist, actually. I wouldn't be able to function. The slide says, God changes caterpillars, sand into pearls and coal into diamonds, using time and pressure. And he's working on you too. Our challenge is love people when they least expect it and when they least deserve it. We're all works in progress, every single one of us. We're still learning and growing as God refines us, files off the rough edges, equips us to serve him. It can be easy to be critical, to be judgmental, but our challenge is, let us be eager for everyone to feel truly loved and wanted here, because we're truly loved and wanted by God. That requires plenty of patience, cutting each other some slack sometimes if we've put each other's nose out of joint, deliberately and intentionally respecting and caring for each other. It's hard work, isn't it? It's hard work in our own little family units, let alone in extended. Paul recognised that fatigue, discouragement could cause us to get to the point where we want to throw in the towel, quit, had enough now. So God gives us the incentives to him to keep going. There is a reward for doing good. Now, we all love rewards. We love little prizes, don't we? We love getting the little badges. Parents, you love it when your kids come home, they've got the Star of Excellence and that little certificate that you can put up on the fridge. You know, job well done. Well, God's got that and so much more for each one of us. So at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, sometimes we're privileged enough to see the fruit in our life now. So if I've smiled at someone, I've served someone, I've loved someone, I've cared for somebody, I might see the immediate kind of fruits of that. But there are times when I'm sowing, and I'm getting a little bit tired of sowing because I'm thinking, where's the fruit, God? Your promised fruit. Oh, no, okay, I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep sowing. I had a bit of time farming years ago, and I'm sure Richard, you can vouch for this. When you put the seeds in the ground for your potatoes, you don't automatically then get to reap your potatoes, do you? You have to give time. They need the right soil conditions, environment, might need a bit of fertilisation, a bit of water, some sunlight. All those things are needed to grow, and they grow in a determined time. And if we don't get enough time, we don't get enough light, we don't get enough nutrients, then we end up with either no crop or a really weak crop. We want an abundant crop, so it takes time. So we're not to give up. We might not ever see a harvest in this lifetime from what we have sown, but actually we must never give up, because we're told that at a proper time he's coming back again and he'll reward us who've been faithful servants. And I don't know about you, but I just want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, with the little that he's given me to give out. I love the minions, and I haven't thought yet that nicely. To make a difference in someone's life, you don't have to be brilliant, rich, beautiful, or perfect. You just have to care enough and be there. That's it. Pressure off, doesn't it? You know, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So Paul's motivating us to persevere in service to one another because we're part of a great family. We might not feel it. We might not feel it all the time. Might be struggling to think, well, am I part of this family? If you are, that is the enemy lying and having a go at you and not wanting you to reap the riches of being part of this family. So come and talk to someone, get some. We start with each other. We want to be out there, each other. And if we be one anothering with each other, then guess what? We ain't going to be one anothering out there. And if we're one anothering as individuals out there, you know, do you want to bring them into this family? I want to bring them into a family where people are going to be expected. And it doesn't matter what they wear, what their background is, what their education is, what the colour of their skin is. No, I want them to know that they're going to be loved, valued, and accepted for who they are. So our challenge is the first step to victory is surrender. I should be speaking on the world wars, really. All our lives, we are trained and encouraged to take care of ourselves, to satisfy our appetites, our expectations. We work hard to earn wages if we've been given jobs and make our lives comfortable. We gather people around who make us happy. We think that we'd be victorious in life when we're safe and secure with all our needs met. But actually, Jesus teaches us that truly victorious living begins with surrender, with denying ourselves, taking up a cross every day, embracing self-sacrifice and following him. So if we try to hold tight to the stuff of this world that God's given us, he might have given you an amazing family. You might be rich and we just don't know it yet. You know, let us know and we come your way. You might be excellent at baking, cooking a roast dinner, knitting, needlework, whatever it is. You know, if we hold our open hands to God, receiving and giving away whatever time and resources he provides, then guess what? We find and we discover that full abundant life that he promises. We hold on to. I can't take it with me when I die, can I? My sacrifice might buy time, in my emotions, in my home, I'll go and watch, country and western with you, but I'd rather be watching some reggae. You know, there's different things that we all like to do. And it is that not becoming weary, living by the Spirit. Because when I'm living by the Spirit, I'm enabling life. That's what Jesus did. So I'm like him. I'm being neighbourly. It might be that I've got a lawnmower that you need to borrow. Now, I'm learning to lend things, but my struggle is I want them back in the condition that I gave them out in. And that's not always been my experience in the past. Lending out a CD to someone, thinking, please God, don't let it come back scratched, because it will annoy me. But actually, I know that that's what they need for that time, and I'll trust God with the rest. So whatever we're doing, whether out at work, within church, be it serving the teas and coffees, searchlight, recording the information, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we rarely see, like some of the legal stuff, the finances. However we've been asked to use those gifts and talents, we can't be bored. We can get fed up, we can get frustrated, especially if we're focused on what we can get out of it and forget we've got an amazing opportunity to serve. And in that, there then be a reward, whether now or when we're before God. Because Paul is clear in Galatians, there is that day coming when we will stand before God and give an account of our lives. And he encourages us that since we're going to stand before him on that day, why not live each day as if we're before him now? I really bad because I was thinking, oh God, well, I was watching those movies. There's nothing wrong with the movies, cute, twee, Christmas movies. But actually, I could have been pressing in to him more. So it's never too late to be who we're called to be. Life is like a camera. Focus on what's important. For us, that should be Jesus, actually. Capture the good times, develop from the negatives, and if things don't work out, take another shot. Don't quit. Now, if you've asked someone, would you like to meet me for coffee? And they've said, I'm really sorry, I can't this week. Take it as the personal, I don't want to spend time with you. Actually, it could just be that they're really busy that week. Somebody pops into your head. I wonder how they are. Bring them up. Send them a text. Put a card or a note through the door. Go and pop round and see how they are. That takes time out of our busy schedules, but actually it should be a blessing to each other and not a curse. God has an amazing way of using even the greatest tragedies and failures in our lives to accomplish the most extraordinary wonders and surprises. His love for us never fails. His patience for us never runs out. Thank you, God. It doesn't matter where I've been. What matters is where I'm going to. It's the same for you. And I am set for heaven. But I forget that sometimes. God's eager to forgive us, to give us that clean slate and a new beginning. So, you know, do you want to be part of that adventure or not? You know about you, but I want to be part of that community, that family, which has that word, koinonia, bond. It builds trust. And if I'm bringing into that values of wisdom, to honouring one another, that overcomes two of my greatest fears, and I'm betting actually most of us, it would be two of our greatest fears. That's being betrayed or being demeaned. No, that would be my history and my old life, but actually I'm a new creation, so it's not like that anymore. And I have an accountability towards you, and you have an accountability towards me. I need you to be on this walk with me, and guess what? Whether you like it or not, you need me, and you're stuck with me for now, because this is where God's called us to be. But I also have a personal responsibility in that, and so do you. I need to be walking with Jesus. I need to be open for him. I need to be following those promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if I don't, I'm missing out on an opportunity, but I'm robbing you of an opportunity as well. I want to be part of that church family where God sets lonely into family, that we provide for each other, we care for each other, we fellowship with each other, we share in each other's suffering, like with Nigel and Callie. You know, that is a loss for them, but actually it's a loss for us as well, and it's okay to feel part of the loss and mourn and grieve with them. In the summer, the Lego movie was really popular, Sarah. You know, and one of the little phrases that we kept hearing around was, I think it's awesome, everything is cool when you're living as a team. And actually, it's true. You know, when we're living as a team, it's not a bed of roses, you know, because we will irk each other every once in a while, but actually we're better together than we are apart. Family is where it's okay to make mistakes because we're all learning together. It's where we should be able to have. It's where we're safe because we are loved for who we are, not what we are or not what we bring to the table. It's a place where we should all be working together for the good, all of us. So I don't know about you, but that encourages me and that motivates me that I should still be continuing to do good to you, my brothers and sisters. So where I haven't, please forgive me. You know, where I've isolated myself, drawn away, closed the door of my home, that's some of what God's been challenging me on. I've had to repent of some things. I've got to put some things right. Can then do what he's called me to do in practicing hospitality, in demonstrating love, in cooking a meal, because I love to cook, but I don't bother if it's just me. But, you know, we belong to Christ. So in that, we belong to each other. So are you part of this family, or are you just coming to restore? That's a good title for you. Okay. If church is family, then we relate to it as sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. Those deeply biblical ideas, aren't they? When the Bible talks about Christian community, they're the metaphors that it falls back on. If the church is a store, you're nothing more than a consumer. We are here to provide the entertainment which you may or may not receive and go away and forget about because you've consumed it. If you view church here as family together on a mission, then you stick with it. You stick with us. You stick with me. Through the thick and the thin, through the highs and the lows and all the in-betweeners. When I slip up, when I'm celebrating, when I'm sad, when I irritate you or encourage you, we work through it, we stay at it, that's what families do, isn't it? Or we should do. That's what forms those deep ties. Now, we've got the blood of Christ running through our veins now, not just the individual blood, whatever family. And it's not about what I can get out of it, but actually it's what I can give into you. If going to church is, oh, it's fun, that's what I do. Or you comment when you're going away, well, you know, the style of preaching. Lisa's a great girl, but actually she does my head in when she's talking. Or, well, yeah, you know, it's nice, the worship band, but actually I do love it when the drums come up. I like a bit of drums, I love a bit of bass. So, you know, well, that was okay, but I got nothing out of it today. Did nothing for me. Then actually, perhaps you're coming to a store. You're not coming to be. You're not coming to give of yourself. Because actually, we all need every single one of each other. You've got gifts, talents, wise words, prophetic words, pictures, fun things. You know, the list is endless. I need them off you, and you need the whatever I've got to give off me. You know, it's not about who has the best prices. Well, that church is more convenient because it's just down the road. So actually, I'm going to go there. It's got the best car parking. We're not in competition with each other. There are different churches within Rugeley, and I thank God for every single one of them because each reflects a different part of the body. We're still the same body. Some might just use a bit of incense. Well, okay, but they still love Jesus. That's our common denominator. It's important that we open wide the front door to us as a family and church, like with Lee this morning. But we should never fail to remember that at our most foundational level, we're family. And we need to make sure that we help each other and those coming in to be family. So how can we do that? Okay. We can be a community together. That's where we are when we come together on a Sunday, hit the Christmas tree. Okay. We worship together, we explore the Bible together, have tea and coffee together. That is community. But we also need that connection. So that's why we have fellowship groups. If you're not in one, talk to us about them. If you don't like the one that you're in, guess what? God's put you there to rub off on each other intentionally, actually. But that's building those interdependent relationship groups. And then commitment. You know, being part of a ministry team to serve God. It could be you're part of the worship team, for team, whatever it is. You know, that should be a joy and a blessing. Thank. Searchlight. I keep going to say mums and tots, but I won't. I'm conscious that, you know, there's that big event coming up at some point soon. Might involve Father Christmas, but for me, it involves Christ when we celebrate his birth. I love this. The best of all gifts around any Christmas tree, the presence of a happy family all wrapped up in each other. You know, Christmas actually tends to be one of the most stressful times of the year, but often it's because we're trying to do and be sort. But I was watching a Christmas film the other day, and it was about two grown-up daughters who'd stopped talking to each other years before, but who wanted a family Christmas together. One of the characters actually had to humble themselves and go and ask forgiveness of the other. And you could tell that she didn't want to do it, but it was the right thing to do. And in doing that, that led to them knowing forgiveness and having the joy of family together. But she ended up saying this, Christmas' greatest gift is to be with friends and family. We are who we are because of family. That connection is the loss. Nigel and Callie might not physically be with us here, but we want to lose that connection with them. They are family, wherever in the world they go. It's our responsibility to work at it, to continue to expand and grow as a family, to include and accept others, because family really should be friends, and friends should be family. And every single one of us, no matter what we might say or how we might act, want to be part of family, want to be accepted, wanted to be loved, wanted to be safe. So, how can we be part of family here together? It's spending time with each other. You might be meeting up for coffee, going for a walk. You might have those gifts or talents. You might be a brilliant seamstress and I need somebody to take my clothes in. The fat's beginning to go. Just an example. It could be that you're brilliant at making cakes, at playing an instrument, whatever. But being together, meals together, No. Christmas, how are you celebrating it? Actually, are you together in your little family unit? Could you have room for more? It could be a whole nother family unit. It could be those that we know their families live far away, or actually they've got no family nearby to call on. So open up your home. You know, that means going and asking. That also means being vulnerable in, well, actually, I've got nowhere to go. It's just going to be me at Christmas. Boxing Day. Now, I remember a few years ago, need to be quick, when I first joined Moody Community Church, coming back together after Christmas and New Year, and hearing people had been for a Boxing Day walk and got together for New Year's and all that sort of thing. And I was rushed. But, I'm in the Church of Cliques then. Because I didn't know. Oh, obviously, there's something about me that really does irritate, because I didn't know about it. I wasn't invited. Actually, people just assumed that I would know, because I was now part of the family. So I'm not going to make any assumptions. Family, all here together. On Boxing Day, some of us like to go for a walk. They walk off that turkey. Others of us like enjoying meeting up at the pub afterwards. Some of us can physically do the walking, others can't, but there's opportunities to get together. For more info on that, you see Dave afterwards. New Year's Eve, we are getting together and having a bit of a party with us. Hopefully at Chris and Liz's, but, you know, we've confirmed the venue. But we want to know if you'd like to come and join us. So I started a list. So come and find me at the end. Get your hand down if you want to join us for New Year's Eve. We've got a family holiday together, whenever it is, Mark. So that's how much it's in my brain. But I know it's in 2015. Andy, Jane and Izzy have just got AJ join them. Well, Alexander James, but I'm sure I'm going to be calling him AJ. Send them a note, text, pop a card through the door, knock on the door. No, ask us if they need more meals doing for them, because a few of us are doing meals. But that's what family do, isn't it? We celebrate together. We've got people with littlies. They might love a date night, if they're a couple. There might be a family, who just want to be able to go out. They've probably forgotten what it's like. There's some of us who would be babysitters. No matter what our age or anything. Searchlight. Can we get involved in that weekly? On a Tuesday, happy tots. It's all those little things. Christmas carol service. If you're what this family is about, come and ask us. Come and spend time with us. Come and get to know us. Forgive us when we seem a little bit busy, preoccupied. We probably are, but actually we need to challenge in that. Not sure of the part you play? Come and spend time with us. Talk to us. Let us know, because we're all important to each other.